Big Brothers Big Sisters needs your help. There's a waiting list of more than 50 children hoping for a mentor. It's just a few hours a month. Be a mentor. Become a big. Visit Big Brothers Big Sisters Northeast Florida and click on Be a Big.
Great to introduce the 2021 Jaguar coaching staff. I spent the good portion of last month putting this puzzle together. You know, I believe 904 deserves the very best, but I feel great about it. Yeah, he was my first hire. He's going to be the number two. That means the assistant head coach.
I know that Coach Meyer had already said it as one of his first hires. I'm really excited about the job here because I know that, you know, what he's done, you know, the winning attitude that he has with every school that he's been to, that we can get that done here.
I've known Joe Cullen a long time. I've always studied his defensive line play. You know, he's considered, if not the best, one of the best defensive line coaches in the game.
You keep improving every day. You know, as a defense, you know, you want to be an attacking defense. You want to be one that starts with, you got to stop the run. A lot of people say it's a throwing league, but, you know, if it's second and three and third and one all day, you're not going to have an opportunity to get after the quarterback.
Tell you the amount of time I spent on that hire and the amount of people we interviewed was as many as I've really ever done. I did speak with several coordinators, and his interview was by far the best.
I mean, myself with my background, you know, with obviously Brett Favre and Stafford and Russell Wilson and those kind of guys. So I think we have good knowledge and experience in bringing a young quarterback to play.
XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today.
Who we got?
With your host, Mike Dempsey.
Mike Dempsey.
Tony Smith. And John Osher.
And Johnny O through the dough. Come on, somebody.
Here we go. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Jaguars Today is off and rolling. Doesn't ET look good in blue? Shouldn't that be his color?
Sure.
I think it is. I mean, you look good in a lot of things, man, but you really look good in that navy blue.
It brings out my eyes.
I don't know about that, but it just, I don't know, for some reason.
It's like he's hitting the links later.
It does, right? He looks
might
like
swing a little bit.
Going to walk right out of here. What are you wearing there? I can't tell what kind of shorts you got.
They're Jordans, no!
They are Jordans. Right? I don't think. Hey, now you can come down to St. John's County and play golf in Jordans.
Jose.
You can come to my neck of the woods and you can get on the course.
My Jordans, no!
I got blue jeans out there. I got work boots going on out there. I got all kinds of things out there. Gotta love the St. Augustine Shores, my man. Johnny O, how are you?
Good.
How's your week?
Just getting by.
Just getting by, huh? And, that's not good enough.
Cranking out content for Jags.com.
What have you done
getting
today
by.
To make the Jaguars better in 2021?
The Huddle podcast with Bucky Brooks, JP Shatterk, and myself has been posted. And I think we're a smidge better today for it.
Because of the posting.
Yeah.
Not the actual performance of the podcast. Right. Someone posted the podcast.
Well, Shatterk posted. He does a nice job with that.
That you are a part of.
Well, some people might like to think I'm the driving force.
Yeah, well, some might.
You know. So y'all went with the Huddle?
What's that?
Like the name got changed.
No,
to
I'm
the
sorry.
Huddle
Up.
Huddle Up.
Yeah, Huddle Up.
Right, huddle Up, everybody.
We're creative.
We're going to fix the Jaguars. No one's ever thought of that.
No.
You know.
It was...
That's right. We do a segment on my SiriusXM show where we have reporters on. We call it press coverage.
Okay.
Right. So, you know, that's totally original, never been used by any
other sports
outlet
ever. I think it's more important for people
ever.
To know what it is than a clever name.
Than to be the first.
Press coverage, it's very easy for me to know
it's
that
the
you're
press
probably talking
covering
to reporters.
The team,
right.
Yes, and it also double entendre action.
Right.
Checks that box.
So I'm not confused at all when I start hearing that segment.
Cliff had a segment when he was working in radio. He's like, oh, man, I'm thinking I'm going to call it. Cliff Notes. I'm like, bruh, that's not clever.
It's a little clever.
I don't mind Cliff Notes.
Like, I don't mind it either.
It's like, bruh, it's not clever at all, dog. It's been done before.
Did he not do it?
Yeah, he still went with it.
He should.
I was about to say, like, I'm not doing a segment called Cliff Notes.
Should capitalize on your name.
Yeah.
Oh, because Cliff Averill.
Yeah.
Cliff.
The old, yes. Yes. See? Very
See,
clever.
It's clever.
Right off the top right there. All right, today we're going to talk a little backup quarterback situation for the Jaguars. What kind – you know, we're going to ask – we're kind of torn between asking what kind of backup quarterback you'd like to see and what specific backup quarterback you would like to see for the Jaguars. And we ended up going with the specific route because I think it boils down – if they go the young route, it's going to be one of the two guys that's on the team already. Right? It's going to be likely Gardner Minshew or Jake Luton. I don't really see – this team going out trying to acquire another young quarterback. I suppose with 11 draft picks, it's not completely out of the realm of possibility they spend a late one on a developmental guy if they really like him.
That's six spot sweet rat.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
Let's go.
I
could easily see that depending on, like, it's new people. It's new eyes.
It is.
So if they look at it and say, you know what, we're running a scheme based on whoever the number one quarterback is. I'm not sure who we know that yet.
I'm pretty sure we know that.
But we're running a scheme based on this. It's Urban Meyer's scheme with Bevel, and the two guys don't fit. So let's go get somebody. Let's get this started. I could see that. I don't know if it's good. It's going to happen, but it's not out of the realm of possibility.
No, I'm not saying it's out of the realm of possibility, but you can't put every permutation in there. So what I think the more likely scenario, you got two guys under contract that have played a little in the National Football League, so you have some glimpse. If you want to go the route of young, inexpensive, can come in a pinch and maybe drive the other team a little bit nuts, I think that's Gardner Minshew, right? I think if you want to go young, inexpensive, but with some tools that you might feel like you could develop into something more for the long term, that could be Jake Luton.
Mm-hmm.
Not saying it is, but it could be. And then you've got a couple of veterans we put in there. Tony and I talked about it. I don't think anybody's pining for Andy Dalton, but he fits this category as well. But you got a Ryan Fitzpatrick, who is similar to Minshew, that he can be lightning in a bottle. You throw him in there and he can get you through a month. He can get you through a game, a half, whatever the case may be. He's got that gunslinger flair to him. And we also put Alex Smith in there, who the guys talked extensively about his career this morning on the drill. What did he win, 4 out of 5 or 5 out of 6 last year? He had a really – I think it was a 4 out of 5 game stretch for Washington. They weren't a
very good
football team, you know. And he's pretty much won wherever he's gone. He's not the future of anything anywhere.
Right. Once he got through that start in San Francisco where the whole team struggled, he was part of an organization that was trying to get out of a hole. Since then, he's consistently won. Never been to a Super Bowl, but he's consistently won wherever he's been.
And as the guys pointed out, you know, it's easy to say, well, he couldn't win. You know, that was Jeff's point. He couldn't win the big one. And Dan says, we don't know that because – he went 13-3 in San Francisco. The next year he was 6-2 and got the concussion, and they used that as their opportunity to get Kaepernick in. Obviously, Kaepernick had a phenomenal playoff run, but who's to say what Alex Smith might have done? He was on a pace to win 12 games. That would have been 25 wins in 2 years. Was very successful winning games in Kansas City. Didn't have a ton of playoff success, only one win there. And he's got the connection to Urban Meyer here as well. You know, so Alex Smith would be more along the lines of, do you want a veteran who can impart some knowledge of being around the league, seeing a lot of things? You know, so would you rather have young and cheap, and there are a couple of different kinds in there, or would you rather have the more expensive veteran, and there are a couple of different kinds in there as well?
Right.
I think if Fitzpatrick came here, he'd obviously know this is not a situation, I don't think, like even with Tua in Miami. This is not a team that's going to give him any illusion or any quarterback coming in here that you're likely to play if Trevor Lawrence stays healthy.
And that becomes the question, do those guys want to step into that where they know they're not playing? Or so?
Don't know.
I would rather have that as somebody – if I'm the Jaguars, if I'm running the team, which obviously I'm not. Newsflash, I'm not. But it's I would far rather have the veteran backup who can come in and get you through a month. And I don't think it's a mentor situation, but where the young quarterback can look over in a meeting and say, is that right? And the veteran goes, yeah, that's right.
Do you get any of that with Gardner Minshew, having started basically a season and a half in the National Football League? If his, let's say he bought into, obviously, you don't want him if he's going to be a problem, you know, that always thinking I should be the starter or something. And I've heard that narrative, but I mean, pretty clearly, anyone who's on this roster is going to know they're not the guy or they're not the future at the position.
If they don't, you need to sit down and have a long talk with them.
Right. I mean, you're not in touch with reality, right? But could Gardner give you kind of like a cross of that? Because let's say, I mean, it's reasonable to think a guy like Fitzpatrick could get, I don't know, $7 or $8 million a year out there, something like that.
Yeah,
so
he's 211 right now. He's 5.5 a year, the contract he signed.
That's the one he had in Miami?
Yeah.
All right, so let's say
five.
Let's say five to six.
Yep.
Okay. Is it worth it to save $5 million against the cap? Let's say you cost $6 million, Gardner's less than $1 million, and have some starting experience. You know, there are different angles to it. And so we threw that out there today, gave you those four names. And obviously, it doesn't encompass every single backup quarterback option. If you have one that you prefer greatly to those four, a specific name, feel free to reply to us today. With that thought, Urban Meyer and the Jaguars continue to add some pieces to the organization. We'll talk about that with Johnny O coming up here. We'll get into a little bit, John, I want to pick your brain on what your thoughts are on the running back position as well. Got a guy in James Robinson who dominated touches last year. Tony and I talked about it a little bit over the last week. What kind of complimentary piece would you like there as well? So we're going to talk about
speed.
And that's probably the thing, you know. But what price? You know, do you want a Travis Etienne level investment of speed? He certainly got it. And you'd have one of the better running back rooms in the National Football League. Or are those early picks too premium to exercise on that position? So we'll get into that a little bit today as well. If you want to hit us up on Twitter for the question of the day, at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at John Osier, at IME to the T.
Ooh.
641-1010 on the phone lines or on the text line, which is designed by Lifetime Enclosures. Off and rolling Jaguars today on this Wednesday on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Record-wise, you know, I would lean more towards that, trying to achieve to be 8-8. But then by the second year, I would see them competing for the playoffs. And then by the third year, it's just automatic for 7 more years where, you know, just
17, man.
I know it. I love it.
Now, more Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Johnny O, did you realize David Garrard sat in that very chair yesterday? And
I didn't realize it, but I could sense it.
You could?
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
I could sense something different.
You walk through, you have the same basic silhouette as David Garrard when you walk through a door.
We do. We,
into a room.
We typically run into each other a lot when we're working out.
Is that right?
Yeah, we do.
Like physically run into each other? Like, oh, man.
Right.
Sorry, on your left over here.
Well, I'll be lifting and he'll say, hey, I need to take the weight off.
Yeah, so, you might want to drop down. Right. Can I jump in here? Right. Do you mind dropping down a couple hundred pounds, something like that? That makes sense. What do you think our realistic expectation? Who knows? I mean, we don't even know who the players are going to be that they acquire. But knowing all the resources they have, and, you know, one thing we're not talking about, I hear a lot of 8-8 and those kind of things. Probably going to be 17 games this year, right? Mm-hmm. So we get an extra opportunity for that eighth win.
8-9, 9-8.
Yeah, somewhere in that ballpark. I mean, is that too much to ask?
It's somebody asked me this in the Arizona mailbag the other day. Anything from 1 to winning record is up there in the history books. I mean, it's Miami went from what, 1-15 to 11-5 one year.
They had That's the Pennington best. That
right.
season.
So I think defensive line wise, you wonder if they're not a year away from being stout enough to get a winning record. And I know the quarterback makes a huge difference, but the line, the number of good players that you need up there, it's going to be hard to get as many in free agency and the draft and have those draft picks develop into good players. Not good potential, but good players. I just think it's going to take a couple of years on the defensive line to get stout enough to be a playoff team, to be a contender. So I would say 6-7-ish. But who knows? That's just sort of my old school. I think the defensive line matters a lot on that front.
What do you think Urban thinks?
Well, I would hope he thinks 12-4. Yeah, I mean,
but realistic. Like, everyone wants that. We can go 16-0. We can win every game. There's no reason we can't beat this team. We have better coaches. We have this. We have that. Do you think he comes in thinking, I'm going to shock the world and we're going to the playoffs? I'm sure that's the desire.
Yeah. I don't know the answer to that question because, you know, it's hard to know what somebody thinks deep, deep down. I would think it's, hey, we should have a chance to win every game if things go right, if this develops right. We should have a chance to get in the playoffs with a realistic sauce on it, if you will, of, you know, I we understand that this may not happen because we're going to be dealing with a lot of inexperience, a lot of newness, not a lot of continuity. There are going to be things that a young quarterback is doing wrong that he'll be doing right in his second year. So I would I guess I don't know, but I think that it's probably more of that where you think you have a chance, but you understand it's not likely.
Realistic goal, like compete for the playoffs next year, potentially, you know, and then if you get there faster, great,
right,
kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, yes. For lack of a better answer, yes, because I'm really bad at prediction questions, but that's what I would
– I mean, nobody knows. Even if Urban says, hey, I think, you know, I expect to go out there and win every game, nobody knows what everyone thinks in their heart of hearts.
Right.
You know, you've got to have some
deep
level
down in your logical core, you have to know that you're going to be better year two than year one, and that historically year one from 1-15 is a tough, tough ask to get to 8-8.
I would imagine. I mean, not a lot of teams have been 1-15 or worse, but even if the record's a little bit different, you know, the Jags are in a category of teams that just weren't very competitive. Mm-hmm. You know, and in individual games, there were times when they played some close
really
games.
Really only about a 5 or 6 game stretch where they were competitive.
For the most part. Yeah. And, you know, for those organizations, I got to believe, though, that, you know, a lot of them end up with the number one pick. That's mm-hmm. great. But do all those who end up with the number one pick have such a clear-cut option to go with a quarterback, if that is their greatest need, which it generally would right. be on a team that bad? Do all of them have that kind of cap space? Do all of them get an infusion of a coach who has won everywhere he's been?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I mean, there's a chance Urban's just one of these football coaches that's going to be successful everywhere he goes. I understand it didn't work that way with Nick Saban, you know,
right.
but there are certain and just because you've been successful at these places doesn't guarantee you anything in the National Football League. But at the same time, I'm not willing to say, well, this game's too big for him. He's just going to be another guy at this level.
Oh, I don't think that at all, because I think leadership and organization and culture do matter. And I think he'll definitely change that. I mean, I think it's going to be better. I think it's going to be a lot better. I just don't know what the record is going to reflect in the first year.
Yeah, and look, if they're pushing 500 next year, whatever that looks like, that's incredible.
Yeah.
You know, the turnaround from 1 year to the next. And again, we got to go through free agency and a draft to even know what pieces they've added to this thing to see if you feel better about them getting there. And the division that they're playing in matters too. You know, it's the Colts were... Did they find the right guy in Carson Wentz making that move? Does that keep them at the level that they were at? Or do they get worse or do they get better with Carson Wentz playing quarterback because the rest of the roster is really good for the Indianapolis Colts and they have money to spend? Tennessee, we know what they are right now, but they haven't drafted very well the last couple of years. When does that catch up to them on the field is to be seen. Houston's a mess, so not a whole lot of expectations out there. But you look at where they could potentially be in the AFC South. I don't think it's unreasonable to expect that they could compete to maybe be the second best team in the division, you know, coming into the 2021 season, depending upon how you feel about Carson Wentz and the move that the Colts made. I think it's hard to expect them to catch the Titans in one off season, but I don't think it's unreasonable to think they might be the second best team in the South going into next year.
Yeah, I mean, it's... You think about the beginning of last season when everything was right and there was hope, beat the Colts, probably should have beaten the Titans. And when things fall apart in the NFL, which they did soon after that, it tends to spiral. Well, they weren't very good last year, and they were able to go toe-to-toe early in the season with some of these teams. Going toe-to-toe means you're a play or two away. If things break right, it starts spiraling the other way. You never know. It's no matter how good the rookie quarterback is, with a rookie quarterback, to me, I temper expectations.
Yesterday, Alex Smith, who's still technically under contract with Washington, although I don't expect him to be back with a cap hit of over $24 million this year and over $50 million of $51 million actually for the next 2 years, if he were to play out the string there. Last year, his base salary of $16 million was fully guaranteed. So there's really no point to let him go He had an interview that he did with GQ come out yesterday where he said, in terms of the Washington football team, they never thought I was coming back. No one there. I did all my rehab outside the building. They do ACLs and stuff like that. But walking in with what I had, it's like you've got three eyes. So there's a very small group of people that actually thought I could do this. I think the rest of the world either doubted me or they patronized me. Yeah, that's really nice that you're trying. When I decided to come back, I definitely threw a wrench in the team's plans. They didn't see it, didn't want me there, didn't want me to be a part of it, didn't want me to be on the team, the roster, didn't want to give me a chance. Mind you, it was a whole new regime. They came in, I'm like the leftovers, I'm hurt, I'm this liability. Heck no, they didn't want me there. At that point, as you can imagine, everything I've been through, I couldn't have cared less about all that. Whether you like it or not, I'm going to give this a go at this point. I could see him having his back up a little bit about that. Look, if you have that kind of devastating injury, you've got to have a lot of
whatever only, motivates.
Right. You know, right. There's probably constantly moving motivational targets, right? Like, oh, this guy today, whatever it takes to get me through this painful mm-hmm. rehab today. But at the same time, if I'm Ron Rivera coming in, I'm like, this guy had a mangled leg.
Right.
He's eating up $16 million of our cap space. What is the realistic chance that he
if
comes
you're
in
Rivera,
and helps
that's
his
a
team?
Perfectly logical way to think of, hey, we got to get going.
It's, you know, but at the same time, I understand Alex Smith as a competitor being kind of like, doubting me? Like, look at everything I've done throughout right. my career. I've won everywhere I've been, and I came back and won last year despite you. And so that didn't really bother me that he put it out there like that.
I can't imagine that it bothers Rivera very much either. He probably I'm sure he understands where he's coming from. So I guess the question is, what does that mean for what Washington will do with Alex Smith moving forward? You know, if they keep him, is the cap hit too big this year? It stands to reason if they can save anything from not having him.
Yeah, they can save almost $14
million. Yeah, it still feels like a parting of the ways at some point, which leads to the question, would he be here?
Especially because they brought Taylor Heinicke back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they've got a young guy that's shown something, but he is making clear backup money mm-hmm. there. He's got 2 years less than $9 million. So he's making backup money. I just got to believe that Alex Smith is a cap casualty for that team. And he makes a lot of sense
mm-hmm.
Fitting in here in Jacksonville for a variety of reasons. But, you know, at the same time, I don't know what he's going to make. He has made $71 million in the last 3 years.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. And as one Washington fan who's a little bothered by it, on Twitter said he's got the nerve to do this interview with GQ after getting $70 million while he spent two of those years rehabbing. It's not like he chose to go that route, but he
right.
did. You know, I can understand that point of view too. Like, hey, you ungrateful so-and-so. We don't owe you anything. You know, I mean, it's fantastic that you were able to come back, but we're about this football team being in the best position to win mm-hmm. games, and you ate up a ton of our salary cap through no fault of your own, but be thankful that you did have guaranteed money in your contract, unlike a lot of NFL players,
right.
or you probably would have been kicked to the curb a little while ago.
From his point of view, he got him to the playoffs.
Yeah.
He did.
So,
I mean, I know terrible division and all that. It was just a great story this year. I think he obviously, if he comes in here, it's got to be with the idea that, okay, your run is done
mm-hmm.
now. Now, if you want to continue to play, you have something to contribute, it's going to be more as a get this guy
right.
up to speed as much as possible.
And is he ready for that yet?
I don't know.
You know, that's always the million-dollar question with those guys.
But if he's not, what are the options for Alex Smith? I mean, which, as great a story as it was, and everyone rooted for him, and he was a near-unanimous comeback player of the year, mm-hmm. And people were talking about they should name the award for him and all this stuff, and all that's great. Who is going to invest in a guy that's had that kind of devastating injury, who's this old? Invest something that puts him on a par.
Well, maybe not a par, but you go to a place, you know, I say you go to a place where the quarterback at least struggled last year, where there's more questions. Whoever's drafted a quarterback this year, no matter how much they struggle, they're going to be the starter. You know, there's not going to be a case where people are calling for the backup. Here, there may be a case, you know, say Miami, where Tua struggled a little bit. If you go there and you're Alex Smith, you're thinking, you know, if his kid struggles a little bit again, they're probably not far away from looking for another option.
Or possibly.
Some situation like that. I'm not trying to call out Tua.
No, but, right, but you might also look at it like, you know, Alex Smith was winning football games, and they're like, well, we got to play Tua because sure. the draft investment on him. And am I going to get a
right.
an even playing field kind of chance,
right.
even if I outplay him?
Probably a more even playing field than there would be
oh,
here
sure.
for him
right.
is my point.
Closer so. To even anyway.
Yeah, look, he's not going to play under the contract they have him under this year.
Couldn't
like,
imagine.
I just can't imagine Washington do that. I mean, you go and you look at the numbers. He's got the 12th most money among quarterbacks in the league on his current contract. He's 11th most guaranteed money in the league at the quarterback position. And even as remarkable as the story was with him ever getting back on the field and playing as well as he did in this last season, he's still nowhere near worth that.
No.
Like, it's not even close. So, with them being able to save, I mean, the cost of getting two more quarterbacks if they wanted to, of the kind of level that maybe Alex Smith is worth right now with $14 million coming off the books, then yeah. I mean, that's the direction they're going to go. And no, I don't think either side was wrong for feeling however they felt about it. If you're the team, of course, you're sitting there going, golly, this anchor that we have, this contract. It's not like nothing he can do is going to live up to this, what we're paying him. And for Alex, it's like, yeah, they didn't want me, and he felt it. Okay.
And guess what? It did live up. It actually probably exceeded what they could have thought, right?
Could have expected with him coming back, never going to live up to the contract that they originally signed him to, I guess would be the point.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. You know, like it's already 2 years
but
where
last
it's
year,
sunk.
Making $16 million last year.
Yeah.
To come in and basically get them to the playoffs
when he did. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Their highly selected quarterback fell on his face.
I wonder if they wish they had missed the playoffs right now because they might be in a position to actually go get a replacement.
It's that tough thing. I'm one, we mentioned this yesterday, Tony, I think it was yesterday, in terms of Trevor Lawrence, you know, like maybe it was 2 days ago, and where how you've got a group of people that are like, always win, always win, always win. I want to feel good. That's what I go to the games for. And it's great, and you feel good in that moment, and then you look up, and you're like, man, we're picking where or whatever. Mm-hmm. And for some, it's different because Trevor Lawrence was the prize this year for sure. But I will always choose, if I can go to the postseason, I'll go to the postseason. And I will take my chances because that's what you play for. Mm-hmm. Nothing's guaranteed to you. I'm not saying I do believe there are teams that make it to the postseason that have no realistic chance of really winning a championship, but
I'd say Washington this year qualified.
Right, and I would say, but their chance is mm-hmm. greater than zero.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's not realistic. It's less than 1% maybe, but it's a chance.
Yeah, they were the only team in the postseason that played Tampa to a one-score game.
Correct, yeah. And the teams that don't have a chance are the teams that don't make it at all. They have the 0% chance. You know what I mean? So
sure.
give me the half a percent chance.
And at some point, even if you're 6-10, they played well at some point where if I was a fan of that team going to the playoffs, I would have figured out a way they could have gotten, you know, it gives you that hope. It gives you that
even if you win that one game, like Tony said, I mean, you played Tampa to a one-score game.
Yep.
If you win that game, I mean, people wouldn't know, wow, you're the team that prevented Tom Brady from winning a seventh. People would have spun it some other way.
Mm-hmm.
But it gives you something. I do feel playoff success can give you a little something to build on going into the next year. I feel that's different than a 3-12 team winning in week 17 to go 4-12.
Absolutely.
You know, so anyway, you can vote today on the four options we put out there. As one person said, they'd like Alex Smith because he knows the system. See if you can trade Gardner, get something for him, and then maybe keep Luton as a third stringer. Who knows? They could go that route as well. I'm thinking more of the direct backup. So in that case, that would be a vote for Alex Smith as the direct backup. Luton or any other guy, a sixth rounder this year, is a developmental guy who maybe Urban Meyer thinks fits his vision for what his NFL offense is going to be with Darrell Bevell, whoever that happens to be. That is kind of more of a team management decision. That's a guy you never hope has to play at least this first year, you know, under any circumstance. It'd be a terrible circumstance if that player would have to get on the field.
They've played too many quarterbacks the last few years.
It'd be a bad enough circumstance if anyone other than Trevor Lawrence has to take any snaps this year, unless Trevor's got us some 40-point fourth-quarter leads and somebody wants to come in for a series of handoffs and kneel downs. That would be just fine. All right, 641-1010 if you want to hop on board. on the phone lines or the text line. Urban Meyer announced a new addition to the Jaguars staff. The team hasn't made it official yet, but we'll talk to Johnny O about Amy Palchik. Palchik, did I say that right, John?
I believe so, yes.
Okay, we're all on the believe so stage of that. I'm trusting John more than I trust my own. I've never met Amy in person, but Urban Meyer introduced her via social media 2 days ago to lead the Jaguars communications team. So we'll talk about that a little bit on the other side. Plus, the Jags yesterday declined the option or opt to decline the option on Tyler Eifert for 2021, which will open up another $5 million plus in cap space for the team going forward. We'll talk about that a little bit with John Osier from Jaguars.com. With Tony Smith and ET, I'm Mike Dempsey. You're listening to Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
And one thing that kind of I took away from talking to David Cutcliffe, the Duke head coach who coached Peyton Manning at Tennessee, Eli Manning at Ole Miss, and Daniel Jones at Duke, was he said, I just had no idea how big he was. And not necessarily his height, but just how well-proportioned he was. And then he said he was a lot faster than what I expected. I mean, he's not just fast. He's really fast.
Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Really, really, really fast.
Not just fast.
Really, 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 really fast.
What movie was that?
I don't know. Was that a movie?
Yeah. Oh, it was The Longest Yard. We were talking about Nelly when he was running through. He was like, he's not just fast, but he's really fast.
Is that right? I don't know if I've ever seen that all the way through.
Oh, it's
the
new good. One.
I mean, the original I've seen a few times, mm-hmm. but...
The Adam Sandler version? Once. Yeah.
Yeah, the Adam Sandler joint.
Not enough to quote it the way I could the early one.
No. But,
yeah.
You know, Beef will watch some obscure movie once and he'll be quoting some. Yeah.
Remember Terry Crews is giving out cheeseburgers.
Yeah, Beef. Man in parking lot said?
Beef doesn't have a whole lot else, though, does he?
Maybe not. I don't, he's got two kids, man. He's got two kids that he dotes on, so he's spending time doing something. That was Hayes Carline, of course, yesterday. He'll be joining us every Tuesday. For the next 10 weeks or so, as he'll preview and review various episodes of the Trevor Cast, a podcast series he and Matt Hayes are putting together. That first episode comes out tomorrow featuring David Cutcliffe. Got into a conversation a little bit on Twitter with Magic fan Ben, who very, very – well, that's what his Twitter name is.
Right, so it just struck me as funny.
Well, I'm not calling
yeah,
out
it can go a bunch of different. Like, is yeah. he an Orlando fan, or is he just
no,
a big fan of close up magic?
He likes magic.
He likes his all right. Close up magic's awesome. All right, I'm just a big fan of card tricks.
We're back to card tricks at the Super Bowl halftime.
I don't know,
yes,
you know, but in his like his, you know how you can put your name, not your handle, but it's Ben Jag / Magic. So he's a Jags fan, but mm-hmm. apparently he's maybe a bigger Orlando Magic fan, which is fine. That's not the point. The point is. He was very adamant that people are crazy to be even considering a franchise tag for Cam Robinson. And
not crazy at all.
I don't think it's crazy either. Right. And I eventually got to, he said, because this is in response, we put a poll up and somebody put a what are you talking about kind of gif in there. And it was more like, because the wording of the poll was, you know how it went, Tony, it was, mm-hmm. should the Jaguars franchise tag Cam Robinson and will they? And the options were yes, they should and they will. Yes, they should and they won't. No, they shouldn't, but they will. You know, so it was like right. he had to sit there and go like, am I picking the right option?
Right.
Right. So that was his. And so Ben was like, yeah, I don't get this. This is kind of crazy. And I'm paraphrasing here. He didn't say these exact things. But, like, you know, the media, I don't understand the media on this issue. I'm like, well, what's wrong with the poll? He said, it's not really the poll. As much as the narrative around Cam, which in his opinion shapes the fan perception that it makes any kind of sense to tag a bad left tackle who isn't worth half of the money the tag is on the open market. His poor play held back this offense for 4 years. And that this is his opinion. And sure. and that when he said the report, I think he was talking about Hayes, who was on. Mm-hmm. And Hayes was saying, give him a contract extension. Now, and he says, you know, he's not getting any pushback. Here's the thing. When Hayes comes on, we have 10 minutes with Hayes. And we could get into a back-and-forth debate over the efficacy of offering Cam Newton or Cam Robinson. I'm going to do it 50 more times. Cam Robinson, a 3-year deal or a 4-year deal or a 2-year deal or whatever. that was really the main focal point of the conversation. And we have 2 hours every day to express our opinion on it. And I think we have pretty clearly. I'm not saying Cam Robinson is worth $13.5 to $14.5 million, but I am saying there is a value to the peace of mind of having a competent. I think he's a competent left tackle. I don't think he's the worst. I don't think he's the best. I think if you play him, you're not going, oh, God, don't get Trevor killed. I think he gave up 5 sacks last year. Right. Now they gave us some more quarterback hits on top of that. Again, is there room for improvement? Yes. But is there an easy answer to find that improvement?
That's the key.
Right. And yes, I'd love to get Trent Williams, and that would be my top priority. But it doesn't go in that order. You don't get to go free agency and then apply the franchise tag. So if unless I can get a great sense that Trent Williams is really open, in other words, wink, wink, yeah, I'm going to sign there,
right,
then I'm probably going to apply the franchise tag because there's not a lot of great stuff out there in free agency. And even if a guy I like falls to me at 25 or 33, am I going to trust, A, that that's going to happen? I can't know. And then that guy's going to be ready to protect Trevor's blindside. So I think this is more of a bite the bullet. I'm not saying he's worth the money, but the possible downside of not doing it, for me, is outweighed by the peace of mind that it would give me. Yeah. And I think we've expressed that, Tony, for weeks now. We've talked about this subject for close to a month on this. So in every conversation that comes up, if someone has an opinion on Cam Robinson, I'm not going to battle him hand and you know, I don't know what the expression is, but you know what I mean? I'm not going to battle him to the wall on every single time. That's their opinion. Hayes has 3 hours in the afternoon to flesh that out and why he feels that way. He wrote a story about it at 1010XL.com. Yeah. So go check that out.
I don't think he plays left tackle well enough to give him a 3-year extension, right? Like, I don't believe that, but I don't believe anyone else in the free agent market beyond Trent Williams plays the position well enough to give them a 3-year extension. Like, you just look at the options that will be available to the Jacksonville Jaguars, and the in-house option beyond Trent Williams, I think, is the best for them going forward, at least for 2021. Beyond that, draft a guy, bring in a young guy, try to develop him to play that left tackle position for 2022 and beyond. 100% on board with it. If they want to do it as early as 25, I'm on board with it.
It also gives you a chance to see how he plays in this system.
Yeah.
It gives you a chance to see, you know. I guess Cam Robinson's inconsistency was not the only issue the offense had last year. So,
no.
It would give you a chance to see, okay, how much of it was him, how much of it was the chaos going on around him. If you feel like you're going to get rid of that chaos and be more efficient offensively, see how he works in this scheme, see how he works in this system, see if he jives with the coaching staff, you know, not just his coach, but the whole concept going on. I think franchising makes a lot of sense.
Look,
can we get a real off season at some point?
Yeah, 2022.
You know, for him too, like coming off the ACL, he didn't have one, obviously. Yeah. Last year there was no off season. And look, for a guy that we talk about, it's technique stuff. It's technique stuff. Well, when does he have time to work on that with NFL coaches at this point? Like, there's the time is limited. And I'm not saying that I believe that he's going to get quantifiably better at any of those at this point in his career, but I don't think that he's bad as many fans think that he is, and the options aren't very good.
But frankly, I'm not going to make excuse for a guy with footwork issues, technique issues.
Sure.
I got to believe, you know, they brought George Warhol back. They thought he did a pretty solid job, right? Mm-hmm. So if he's a pretty good offensive line coach, I'm sure he's saying, he's identifying, here are the technique issues you need to work on. I'm not going to be there every single day to look over your shoulder. But you can get better in your own time, too. You know, you can go out there. As an offensive lineman, what do you need? A field, a little space. Go out there. You know, maybe some tackling dummy type things to put up to, you know, block like a little mini blocking sled, something like that. But you don't need a whole lot, I don't think, to work on your technique.
Yeah, I mean, ideally you would have somebody doing something across from you, but I hear you.
Sure.
You can still work on it.
You can still work on it. And like, you know, you have someone to simulate the snap, and then boom, you do a, you know, 3-step drop, pass protection, you know, you do a 5, whatever the case may be. And I don't know. I just think you can. So I'm not going to absolve him of any, you know, reason for not improving, because everyone's in the same situation. I'm sure there are some offensive linemen that got better in 2020 than they played in 2019. But bottom line, and I'm not upset that Ben has a strong opinion and that he adamantly thinks it's wrong that they franchise tag Cam Robinson, because I think a lot of people would feel that way. A poll found, and it's not scientific, but for the people who voted, over 52% felt that they should franchise him. Whether they would or not was another part of the equation, but over half said, yeah, they probably should. And I doubt those all 52% of them feel that he's worth the money, like me and you, Tone. You know, yeah. It's more just the,
but he's not terrible.
The circumstance you find yourself in.
He's not terrible. And there's a narrative out, right? There's a strong narrative among some people that he's a bad left tackle.
People are looking at Pro Football Focus grades on Cam Robinson, and they're saying, well, he's ranked as the X free agent in the class.
And that ridiculous projection of a one-year, $2 million deal.
Eric Flowers was total trash. Came here, they moved inside the guard. He played one semi-competent year.
He was okay.
He's okay. He played in Washington for 1 year, got 3 years, $30 million to play guard in Miami. You're telling me somebody wouldn't give Cam 3 years, $30 million?
I'd be stunned if they did.
As a left tackle in his mid-20s? Right.
Who's a pretty good run blocker.
So if that's the case, and you could get him for 13.5 to 14.5, I've seen different projections of where the franchise
for 1 year, that's
tag,
not unreasonable. I don't know if they'll do it, but it's not unreasonable.
Right. And exactly. And I even said I don't think they will, but I would.
Right.
And that's – anyway. So there's a – you know, look, we appreciate the opinions and the feedback.
He worked
feedback.
His magic on you, didn't he?
He did. Good job, Ben. Amy Palchik, because we said we'd talk about her in the segment. She was with the Texans. They decided she wasn't a cultural fit. Whatever the heck that meant. You know, at the time, it was panned so badly. This organization has made the most PR-unfriendly decisions with its fan base.
It was panned about as much as you'll ever see a public relations person.
Probably more. John, when have you ever seen an uproar over a PR person getting fired? And when have you ever noticed, you know, unless you personally know them, right?
Right, exactly.
Stories written about it, premier players weighing in like, oh, this is a travesty. Yeah. This is ridiculous. What a professional. How great she is. I don't know her personally.
I don't either. I know her tangentially, meaning I've been in press boxes, obviously covering the Jags, covering the Texans. So I sort of know her to nod. Hey, I mean, how you doing? But many, many people who I know very, very well speak incredibly highly of her. So I'm looking forward to working with her.
Urban Meyer tweeted out 2 days ago, I'm thrilled to be able to announce a very important addition to the Jaguars. We've hired Amy Palchik to lead our communications team. Welcome to Jacksonville, Amy. So Jags haven't made that official, but I'm going to take it as official when Urban Meyer tweets that out. I'm pretty sure he's in the know on what's going on with the organization.
She'll be here, and my understanding is she'll be working with and leading all things football, public relations, communications, et cetera.
So is that basically – I'm trying to figure, is she basically taking the job that Ted Dickman had? Is your guess? I know
I don't know
official.
That for sure, but I know – in terms of dealing with the coach, dealing with the general manager, which is what Tad Dickman did, that's my understanding is that she will be doing that. I don't know that officially.
Is it weird, though, that the head coach is announcing the communication staff? You know what I mean? Like, that just seemed like a little, like, I don't know, unique that was announcing it like that.
I have not been in that circle to know the information on that.
Yeah, all right. I'm not in that circle either. I don't think I'm ever going to be in that circle when it comes to Urban Meyer. But, Mike, I don't know. It's just a little odd. Nothing wrong with it. But welcome to the team if it, in fact, does become official. And we'll go from there. Mentioned Tyler Eifert's option. Not going to be picked up. We'll talk about that a little bit on the other side. Got one more segment to go with Johnny O from Jaguars.com. Plus, coming up in hour number two, Daniel Jeremiah has revised his top 50 prospects. A lot's changed in the last couple weeks with these guys, Tony. But there's always somebody moving and shaking on the board, and we get suckered in as well as any other sports talk radio host. So we'll take a look at what Daniel Jeremiah feels are the top prospects available in the 2021 NFL draft. On the other side as well, this date in football and the gems from around the National Football League. You're listening to Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
And now, this date in football history.
All right, taking a look at February 24th on this date in football history. It was on this date in 1985 that Jim Kelly, playing for the Houston Gamblers, set an American pro football record for passing yards in a game. Not a North American, but United States of America. 574 yards was the total. Norm Van Brocklin still holds the record for an NFL game. I think there have been about 11 500-yard passing games. He's had 554 for the Rams versus the New York Yanks back in 1951.
It's amazing that still stands, by the way.
It is, right?
I mean, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, you're right, because, you know, you see in this pass-happy era, and we've seen it topped a few times, I think you just have to have the perfect circumstances. Yeah. You know,
it'll fall, but it's considering that, what, for the last probably 15, 20 years,
it doesn't Peyton seem unreachable, right?
The passing stats started becoming dwarfed. Like, but Edwin still stands.
I want to say Roethlisberger. Did Roethlisberger do it twice?
500 yards.
Seems
like Breeze has done it a couple times.
Games. I'll find out here in a minute. It's been topped. That number, 574 of Jim Kelly, was topped four times in Canadian Football League history. In fact, one from the 1950s, Sam Echeverry had 586. Doug Flutie threw for 582 in 1991. Danny Barrett threw for 601 for British Columbia in 1993. But Matt Dunnigan for Winnipeg versus Edmonton in 1994, 713 passing yards.
Yeah, and I thought nobody would ever catch Echeverry.
And, yes, did you? You thought that's one that would never fall? You didn't think that one was surprising that it hung on? The 500-yard passing games, Van Brocklin at 554. Y.A. Tittle had 505. Let's see if I can sort these a little bit better here. Here we go. 527 for Warren Moon, and Matt Schaub is tied for second most in league history. Boomer did it with 522. Roethlisberger, 522. Marino, 521. Stafford, 520. Brady, 513. He also had 500 in a Super Bowl, 503, I think. Jared Goff threw for 517. Phil Simms and Derek Carr, 513 each. Breeze and Eli each had 510. So there have been a good number of there's another one for Brady at 505. And that was the Super Bowl, 505. Breeze did it again. White Tittle did it. Roethlisberger did it three times for Roethlisberger.
Four, actually.
Four, wow. Yeah, I had to scroll down to the bottom of the list. So. Yeah. 25 total
2,000 yards in five.
In four games. In a month, right? pretty amazing. All right. Birthdays for this date include Simeon Rice, who was the third overall pick by Arizona in 1996. Spent half of his career with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers as well. He's 47 years old today. He was the defensive rookie of the year with 12 and a half sacks back in 96. A three-time Pro Bowler, 122 sacks for Rice, ranks 20th all time. Couple of former Jaguars have birthdays today. Happy 32nd to Ryan Davis. Very popular guy when he was here. Continues to be. Played four seasons with the Jags beginning in 2012. He had 11 of his 14 career sacks in that time period.
That's my boy.
Happy, of course it is. happy 31st to Jordan Todman. Is that your guy as well?
Actually, yeah.
Yeah. three seasons with the Jags also beginning in 2012. He had 111 carries for 442 yards. Three touchdowns, a pretty decent receiver out of the backfield as well. Scored a couple more on 40 receptions there. He is 31 years old. That's what we have for you on this date in football history.
Now, Gems Around the NFL, brought to you by Beaches Jewelry and Pawn in Jack's Beach.
Washington quarterback Alex Smith told GQ magazine that he didn't feel wanted by the team last summer, saying, quote, "They didn't see it, didn't want me there, didn't want me to be a part of it. Didn't want me to be on the team. The roster didn't want to give me a chance. Mind you, it was a whole new regime. They came in, I'm like the leftovers, and I'm hurt, and I'm this liability. Heck no, they didn't want me there. At that point, as you can imagine, everything I'd been through, I could have cared less about all that, whether you like it or not. I'm giving this a go at this point." End quote. Washington head coach Ron Rivera said a few weeks ago that they are still evaluating their options at quarterback. Smith has a $24.4 million cap hit this season. The team would save $13.8 million if they were to release Smith this offseason. Ben Roethlisberger's agent, Ryan Tolner, said yesterday that Big Ben will be playing this season, that he and the team are expected to speak soon about reworking his deal to help the team out. Steelers president Art Rooney II released a statement this morning, basically along the same kind of lines, that he and Ben have spoken, that Ben is planning on coming back for 2021. Now they need to work on figuring out something with his contract with the football team. Free agent to be wide receiver Dez Bryant said on Twitter yesterday that he plans to play two more years. Bryant didn't play in 2018 after an Achilles injury, went unsigned in 2019 before landing with the Ravens for the 2020 season. He wound up fourth on the Ravens' wide receiver depth chart and said on Twitter Tuesday night, quote, "I realized quick Baltimore wasn't the place for me. No bad blood, end quote. But Brian at least saying he wants to play for a couple more years.
Yeah, let's see. I'll be like the third or fourth receiver on a team that doesn't throw the football a whole lot. Yeah, that's not the place for me. Said every receiver ever.
Probably. Yep.
Just thinking. All right, John. Tight end here for Jacksonville.
Fix it.
Reportedly, the Jags will decline the option for Tyler Eifert, according to Ian Rappaport. And that will save about another $5 million against the cap.
Yeah, that felt like it was coming, didn't it?
I mean,
you sign a guy.
They didn't have to have the space, but, you know.
Right. But at the end of – in the last year of an old regime, a veteran signs a 2-year deal with an option. Typically, the new regime is going to look to rebuild it in its own image. So I'm not real surprised about that. I guess the question is, O'Shaughnessy's also up. You could be going into the off season with the bare minimum in terms of experience of that position. I almost feel silly saying it because I've been saying it for 8 years. Got to fix it at some point.
Doesn't Pat Freiermuth just seem like almost like a, depending on what the other need, like if the Jags don't address offensive tackle, maybe they got to get one at the 25th pick. But if like Freiermuth is there with the 33rd pick, and if you've hired Penn State's tight ends coach.
Fair, yeah.
You know what I mean? Sure. Like that to me is like, man, if you don't take him, it's almost like saying, whoa, what's wrong with this guy?
Right, you want to do an investigation.
Because he's big, he's a good receiver, he's much more of a complete tight end than Kyle Pitts. Look, don't get me wrong. As a weapon, give me Kyle Pitts.
Yep.
Okay, I think he's a special player that could have a ultimately like a Travis Kelce like impact.
But he's
on a team
a receiver.
In a few years. Understood. Right?
90 times more than he's a blocker.
And Kelsey's a good two-way player as well. But you know whether you want to say I don't know. You know I'm sure Darren Waller's probably he's a big guy. He's probably physical in the run game as well. But pick your. I hate the tag for him, but pick your finesse tight end. He's going to be as good as anybody as a playmaker. But Freiermuth as an all-around guy, just, man, if he comes, you figure you've got the sign-off from his coach, right? Or else you're not going to draft the guy. And, I mean, they could go the Hunter Henry route. They could go the Jonnu Smith route. Are there a couple of interesting guys? Mm-hmm. Or maybe a lesser tight end out there in free agency in conjunction with a young guy. And you never know, Josh Oliver is the wild card.
Yep.
Don't count on it. But that doesn't mean he can't force his way into the mix.
Right. I can't imagine you go in with Josh Oliver thinking he's anything, but hey.
Total roll of the dice.
We hope this works, but we can't count on it. I think free agency with tight ends can be fascinating because the first time there are a couple of guys, or for the first time in a long time, there are a couple of guys who are very intriguing. And you would think for the first time in a while that it would be an enticing place to come for a free agent because of the build and because of Trevor Lawrence. So you actually have a chance at getting a guy who could work out at the tight end position for the first time since what? Julius Thomas, it was a big get in 2016. Didn't work out.
Yeah.
But you at least had hope.
I wonder what would have happened if Julius Thomas had not gotten hurt so quickly in the process. You know, he would have been better.
He would have been a lot better. As disappointing as that was, he actually scored some touchdowns.
Yeah.
He actually had some moments where you thought, okay, that's what you want. I think he had 5 or 6 touchdowns, which that's not what you paid for, but there's been worse busts.
No doubt.
In terms of doing nothing.
Look, if I'm Hunter Henry, I want to stay right where I am because I've got a growing chemistry, I hope, with Justin Herbert.
Right.
And you've got a team that you feel is on the rise, but they might not be able to afford him.
Right.
And so that it comes down to that. And he has said, I want to go somewhere. Money is an issue. Certainly it always is in free agency, but I want to play with a good quarterback. I just don't want to chase the last dollar. Well, I got to believe that people are going to be looking at Trevor Lawrence or the situation as like, you know, I'm walking into a guy who maybe a year from now is already considered one of the hopefully 10 best quarterbacks in the league.
Great situation, exciting head coach, no tax.
If Trevor Lawrence isn't considered like a top 12 quarterback going into year two, like, you know, or projected to be, you know what I mean? Like, and I may be underplaying it here. You know, and I granted he hasn't played it down yet, but this is why we're so excited about him. We're not talking
Herbert's
about him.
Herbert's considered what? I'm not
Herbert would
list.
Be considered, I would think, a top 10.
Top 15, top 12, minimum.
Right, minimum. I would consider him that anyway. Like, guys that you want on your team going into the next 5 years.
Right, because goodness knows what the ceiling is based on what you saw this year.
Right, and who knows where Tom Brady is at that point, although Tampa's saying that they're not completely closed off to the idea of a contract extension with Tom Brady, which is just unbelievable.
Tom Brady's going to play another 12 years.
Can we just get Trevor on the avocado ice cream right away?
Whatever it is.
Start there and see what happens. All right. For you, John, what quarterback option at this moment, assuming that they all are available because Alex Smith is
specific
under contract.
Specific guy?
Yeah.
If you
had to go with one of those guys.
Smith would be a guy that would be very appealing because of the presumed system fit. It's going to be the exact system he played in. But
would you prefer a vet over a young player then?
Yes.
Regardless, whether it's Alex Smith or another veteran type.
Yes.
Okay. All right, there you go. That's where Johnny O's vote is going with the Alex Smith.
Yeah, vote me in there. I'll pop on Twitter a little later.
You pop in. I don't have your login. If you want to leave that with me, I'll say wonderful
things.
Well, pop
into Wikipedia, change my age, and
then
I'll
definitely do that.
And vote.
All right. Right now, Alex Smith holding down 45% of the vote. Gardner Minshew getting about 32%. Ryan Fitzpatrick getting about 20% of the support out there. And Jake Luton, God bless him, getting 2.6% of the vote right now. Obviously, we only gave you those four options, but that's the question of the day. Assuming the Jaguars select Trevor Lawrence, which of those backup quarterback options would you prefer? I think there's a pretty reasonable likelihood that it could come from those lists, at least the guy who's the heartbeat away. There could be a third guy. Could be Luton. Could be Minshew.
I'll bet Jake Luton mentions this poll in the GQ article on him next year.
Probably should, right? Yeah. As a
big
sign of disrespect that he was lumped in there with the
disrespect.
Likes of X.
Whoever. This poll didn't want me here this year.
John, what do you have coming up at Jaguars.com?
The Ozone podcast, which should post this afternoon, I believe, be talking to NFL Network's Steve Weish about all things Jaguars, all things NFL. Steve and I go back about 26, 27 years. We're covering the University of Florida together, so it was great to catch up.
And he still talks to you.
Well, he had to be encouraged strongly by the NFL Network.
Let's be honest. Did he think he was going to be on with JP?
He didn't know who was calling.
There you go. All right. Check out John. Jaguars.com. We appreciate it, buddy.
Thanks, guys.
All right. At John Osier on Twitter is where you'll find him as well. We'll come back on the other side, Tony, and we'll dig into Daniel Jeremiah's latest updated list of the top prospects for the National Football League's draft. And with Tony Smith and ET, I'm Mike Dempsey. Jaguars Today rolls on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
When it was a football comparison, Cutcliffe almost always took it back to Pate, which I found to be really interesting. Because we didn't specifically say rank Trevor against Peyton Eli and Daniel Jones. But as I'm answering your question and thinking about Cutcliffe's answers to questions about Trevor, it usually went back to Pace.
Everything you need to know about the Jags. Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
The hammer. Dropping the hammer-like knowledge. Call him Molnir. He's the hammer. Hayes Carline.
Hammer time.
Hammer time. The Trevor cast drops tomorrow, episode 1, featuring quarterback guru David Cutcliffe. And you can hear that tomorrow at 1010XL.com. Every Thursday, new episode of the Trevor Cast coming out. New aspect, the new angle, looking into what we think makes Trevor Lawrence tick. So listen for that with Hayes Carline and Matt Hayes for the next 10 weeks. Excited about that. Tony, we're going to get to Daniel Jeremiah here momentarily. You probably noticed. Maybe you haven't. Don't peek. Do you see Gil Brandt's article, 7 Intriguing Player Team Fits?
I did not.
Out there. First one at the top of the list is a guy that you have suggested for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Oh.
Who do you think that is?
Intriguing team fits. Marcus Williams?
That's a good guess. Curtis Samuel.
Oh, yeah. Number two on my list. Yep.
As Gil says, is the very first guy that he lists. Turning in the card to select Trevor Lawrence with the first overall pick in the draft will be easy. Ensuring Lawrence has a supporting cast he needs to succeed will be the bigger challenge. DJ Chark's a quality receiver. James Robinson coming off one of the greatest rookie seasons ever recorded by an undrafted running back. But beyond that, upgrades are needed. Inking Samuel, who hit career highs in catches with 77 yards with 851 and catch rate, nearly 80% with the Panthers would be a good start, not least because he also has the ability to carry the ball out of the backfield with 41 rushing attempts for 200 yards and two scores last year. I can still remember his impressive pro day performance. I'm sure new Jags head coach Urban Meyer, who recruited him to Ohio State when he was coaching the Buckeyes, remembers it well too. Samuel doesn't turn 25 until August.
Holy cow.
Up for free agency, man.
That is nuts.
Doesn't hit 25. Now, I don't know what the 40 times are, but can't LaVisca Chenault give you a lot of what Curtis Samuel gives you?
Sure.
Tony's going to dig up those 40 times.
I am. I'm going to look
who are you going for? I'll go for the other
one. I'm getting Curtis.
All right. I'll get LaVisca Chenault.
4-3-1. Holy cow.
That's pretty fast.
That is flying.
That's pretty fast.
He's not as – I don't think he's as big as LaVisca. Yeah. Look, like, if you're looking for
– Not as big.
No. If you're looking for – and it's why the Samuel thing makes sense. He's got the connection with Urban Meyer. If you're looking for another back to come in and be the – guy, every time he touches the ball, it's a threat for a house call, at least. Like, his speed can threaten the defense. Curtis Samuel makes all the sense in the world in that kind of role.
4.58 for Visca. I feel like he's faster than that, like, to my eye, on a few occasions when they run him down the field.
Sure. And honestly, like, I imagine, all right, you line up with Curtis Samuel in the backfield and LaVisca Chenault in the slot, with DJ Chark on the outside, and if you added another body at wide receiver too, like, it's the things that Urban Meyer could do creatively with having Chenault and Samuel in the offense, I think would be really interesting, because they can do similar type things where they can play a bunch of different kind of positions for you. Samuel's the more dynamic athlete, right? Chenault's the physical freak guy of the two of them, and Samuel's the more, he's going to make you look like a fool in the open field. Chenault may make you look like a fool, but it's because his shoulder's going to put you in the ground, right? Like, you better bring friends if you're going to deal with LaVisca Chenault. We learned that last year. I think, yeah, I really like the idea of adding Curtis Samuel to this offense.
The other connections that Gil Brandt made with some free agency fits, none of them specifically with the Jags, but he had Leonard Floyd going to the Chargers. Leonard Floyd's a guy I wouldn't mind. Like,
yeah,
a less expensive Shaq Barrett type. He had a good season last year. You always wonder in the contract year when you have that breakout. He had 10.5 sacks. He's been an underachiever prior to that, mostly in his career. Joe Tooney, the offensive guard, going to the Bengals. The Jets signing Richard Sherman. I wouldn't have a problem with that, but he obviously played under Robert Saleh. That's part of the connection there. But Anthony Harris, the free safety, going to the Browns. Will Fuller going to Washington. A lot of talk that Houston will franchise Will Fuller and not let him get out. And then Alejandro Villanueva going to Indianapolis. I heard it. Bocelli said it the other day. I forget the exact wording he used. Basically, his best football way behind him right now. And I talked to a couple of Pittsburgh reporters, felt like, oh, yeah, they need a significant upgrade on where Villanueva's been at right now. Oh, but he adds for the Colts, this is Gil Brandt, Cam Robinson would also be appealing, but I expect Jacksonville to either re-sign him or retain him via the franchise tag.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this pesky local media driving this narrative right into Gil Brandt's head. How did we do it? How dare us suggest we are driving the story with this? I'm just giving you our opinion.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's take a look at Daniel Jeremiah's top guys. Hey, no change at number one.
Oh, okay.
No change. Trevor Lawrence, you want to hear good things about Trev?
Absolutely.
He's tall, he's long, and he's athletic.
All right.
He's all those things. What is, in this case, what, he has long arms? Do we care? You know what I mean? Like, he's tall, he's long. He's not a defensive end trying to reach the quarterback. He has a long delivery, but he still gets the ball out quickly. It explodes out of his hand. The offense at Clemson featured a lot of quick screens and quick hitters. He showed excellent touch and placement on those throws. He can really drive the ball down the field when called upon. Has the ability to layer the ball over linebackers and under safeties in the middle of the field. Overall accuracy is excellent at all three levels. Does need to improve his pocket awareness, doesn't always feel backside pressure, needs to speed up his clock versus frontside pressure. Outside of his final game with the Tigers in the loss to Ohio State, I was impressed with his decision-making. He's a dangerous runner because of his build-up speed and toughness. Overall, he is ready to start right away. He has the tools to ultimately emerge as a top five player at his position.
Oh, that's not like top five quarterback in this draft class.
No, that is saying top five quarterback in the league.
Oh, kind of okay.
Stuff right there. So I told you, who was it? Jim Moore Jr. told me during the season we had him on Sirius, and he said he felt, I think the number was seven, that he's one of the best seven quarterbacks in football right now. And he's like, not college football, people. Best seven quarterbacks on the planet, football. Like any football. Right now. And this was pretty early in the college football season, whatever. And is that too much? Is that hyperbole? I don't know. But don't you want to find out?
Absolutely.
I do. Right? We will. We will months from now. Ja'Marr Chase is his second player. Kyle Pitts is his third. I'm not shocked, man. I mean,
no, not at all.
I said this. If he were just a wide receiver, he'd be a first-round pick, right?
Easy.
I mean, I don't know. Would he be any lower,
no.
Really? Right? Because who cares? You're going to line him up not tight to the formation most of the time anyway, I would suspect. So I don't know how much you would downgrade him at all. And, in fact, I'm hearing some teams are evaluating him strictly as a wide receiver. Makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's 6'6". He can run. He's quick. He can high point it. He's amazing in the red zone. Anyway, just what?
Well, yeah.
I want five top 10 picks, please.
And you go to even what Daniel Jeremiah had to say about Kyle Pitts. And if someone's going to knock him, it's going to be the blocking stuff, right? Mm-hmm. That you may ask a tight end to do. He fits up doing his best to wrestle and stay attached. He will fall off at times, but the effort is there. Right? Like, it's not like even Daniel Meyer is like, Jeremiah's like, no, he can't block. You know,
right.
Like it's
he
not
said,
even.
In fact, he showed tremendous improvement in that area last year.
I don't know how you would knock Kyle Pitts at this point, and I don't see how he's going to get outside of the top 10. I really don't.
Oh, I don't either, man. If nothing else, maybe somebody trades in there.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a scenario, but he's not going to fall very far. If he does, it's more of a case of teams needing quarterbacks so much, right?
Yeah.
And that jockeying around. And maybe some of the teams that would have been more likely to select him, maybe they need an offensive tackle, whatever the case. Zach Wilson ranks as his fourth player. Caleb Farley, a lot of these opt-out guys, very high here. They didn't hurt themselves. He's fifth. Jalen Waddle, sixth, above Devontae Smith. So, not far. He's got Smith at eight. Rashawn Slater. Did I mention Sewell? I don't think I did.
I don't think you have
no.
yet.
So, he's got Rashawn Slater as his top offensive lineman. Sewell, he is at seven. Sewell's at nine. Micah Parsons rounds out the top 10. Some notables before we get to the 25th area. Trey Lance at 11. Justin Fields at 12. Let's see here. Elijah Vera Tucker, ranked 15th. He's a guy who some feel could play left tackle, other feel better suited at guard. I think one of the new CBS mock drafts has him going to the Jaguars.
Yeah, saw that, yeah.
Right, they'd try him at least at left tackle. If he can't hack it there, you can always kick him inside, and he's going to be a really good player. Trevon Moehrig, you hear that name a lot now. He's got him 16th here. I saw one mock. Maybe it was tankathon.com. It's the one they did like right after the season that has the Jags, I want to say, going Lawrence, Christian Barmore, Moehrig with the first pick of the second round, and Freiermuth with the second pick of the second round that they have. Wouldn't that be about the ideal right
Ooh,
now?
Oh, boy. Yeah, that'd
be
fun.
Doesn't get you no tackle, but we got Trent Williams, so who cares? let's see. What else here? Getting in that 20. Kadarius Toney's at 21. Najee Harris at 22. I think he had Travis Etienne at 18 is where he had him. So the top two running backs there are top 22 players. J.C. Horn out of South Carolina, the corner. See him mock to the Jags a few times. He's 23rd. Right there at 25, Jalen Mayfield. But he's right tackle out of Michigan. You've got Christian Darrisaw then. I saw in that CBS mock, Darrisaw went very high. I want to say top 10. I think he was the second tackle off the board. Might have been top five. I think that's what happened. They had Houston trading to Miami with Deshaun Watson, getting that third overall pick back. They took Penei Sewell, and then Darrisaw went fifth in that one. And they, you know, Jeremiah, describes him as a solid, reliable starter at left tackle. Well, if you get that at 25, it's not the worst thing in the world. So, anyway, Levi Onwuzurike is who Jeremiah had mocked to the Jaguars.
This is interesting. In the Darrisaw write-up there from Daniel Jeremiah, the last sentence, I view Darrisaw as a player who will be starting at right tackle very early in his NFL career.
Okay. Might be a bunch of those guys like that. I mean, look, I'm the last guy who's going to be breaking down the tape on offensive tackle prospects. So
I hear you.
Going on kind of the word of mouth here. But it is interesting. You see him ranked very highly in some places. You see him described as a left tackle in some places here. Yeah, Jeremiah describing him as a right tackle. And again, goes back to what – have you seen this picture of Tevin Jenkins? Do you know what Tevin Jenkins looks like, by the
way?
Go look at prospect number 30. He looks like he's straight out of, like, a 13-year-old football camp.
Yeah, what is that?
I mean, he's got the goggles, like the specs on.
Yeah,
I mean,
he's got, like, the Blankenship glasses on.
No.
Go look at that story. It's crazy. He looks like a 13-year-old kid, you know, at a camp, getting ready to curse out Cam Newton, tell him you've never done anything.
It looks like he would do it pretty smartly.
Right. He looks very bookish. There. Nothing wrong with that. I view him as a quality NFL starter at right tackle. Mm. So a lot of right tackle prospects in here. Come on, Trent. Come take the bag. We're wanting to hand you the bag. Come take the bag, please.
My dog Tevin looking real studious.
You see him, right? I mean, that really jumped out at me, that picture. Hey, nothing wrong. Look at me. I'm no prize. So. Whatever, you know, he'd probably like, who is this guy to talk? I did get to the barbershop, though, yesterday, man. I was shaggy, bro. That hair was getting to be like a third of an inch long up top.
Oh, boy.
It
can't have
rough.
That.
It was rough, son. I had to wear a hat yesterday. Crazy. I feel much better today. All right, we'll come back, and we will look at the question of the day responses, and we'll weigh in on where we would go with the backup quarterback situation for the Jacksonville Jaguars heading into 2021. That's your question of the day. Which type of backup quarterback specifically would you like, a Minshew, a Luton, an Alex Smith, or a Ryan Fitzpatrick, or did you go off the board with some other vote? We'll decide that on the other side. Jaguars Today rolls on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
But I see this year, even though I'm saying 8-8, I see a lot of exciting plays happening. I see a fan base really falling in love with a quarterback that they can count on for hopefully a decade.
Everything you need to know about the Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
As David Garrard yesterday, good to have DG9 back in studio here with us.
But you know it don't take much, man.
I know. We've restrained you.
Sprinkle!
For 2 hours and 42 minutes. No boundaries for the final 8 to 10 minutes of the program. As Dave on the text line designed by Lifetime Enclosures points out, LaVisca wasn't 100% when he ran. That is true.
No, yeah.
Impacting that 4.58. Yeah, because he strikes me more like a... You told me he was like a 4.42 guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, mid-4.4s like, is more what it feels
not
like.
Not like he's a 4.32 or whatever.
Yeah, like Curtis Samuel ran 4.31. Like he's going to be faster than LaVisca Chenault,
sure.
Which makes sense with the size of the two guys too.
But
yeah, he was probably
like
a little slower.
What was Anquan Boldin's 40 time? It was probably higher than that, wasn't it? I mean, he was one of the – for a guy who had so much success in the NFL, I seem to recall it was 4.71. Yeah. Right, super duper productive.
Yeah, no doubt.
So Dez Bryant ran a 4.52. Heck, Larry Fitzgerald ran a 4.63. These guys were not known just simply for breakaway speed.
Jerry Rice ran like a 4.7.
Plenty fast enough.
Yeah.
Plenty fast enough. Let's get Darren and Ponte Vedra up. Got an urban question, and we'll get to our 1010 take and look at today's poll question as well. Darren, good morning. You're on Jaguars Today.
Hey, guys. Good morning, y'all. Hey, real quick, Urban Meyer, I'm very excited about him being here, and obviously the prospect of, you know, obviously you better pick Trevor, but he made a comment in his presser introduction about that this was an 8-8 league and that, you know, he's not accustomed to losing. I wonder how much he really believes that. And also, just wondering how he might adapt to the speed of the NFL. We talk about college players adapting to the speed of the NFL. I'd just be curious to see if there's any, not saying overwhelming, you know, we may never know the answer to that, but how Urban proceeds out there on the field with 53 professional football players on both sides of the field every Sunday. And so I just hang up and listen to your guys' thoughts, guys.
Yeah, I don't know where that would be any different than having 80 guys on each sideline in college. I mean, you're dealing with a lot of moving parts. I don't think the speed of any – will he make some mistakes? Probably so. But probably made some mistakes along the way. You know what I mean? Like at Florida and Ohio State and different places. But his teams were so good and generally had a talent advantage that it didn't really matter in the end.
Yeah, and that's really, you know, that's the 8-8 talk about. This is an 8-8 league. It's more everyone's even.
It's set up to be an 8-8 league.
Right. Like, it's the idea of you're not going to go into a game, generally speaking, in the NFL where the talent differential between you and your opponent is such that you're like, yeah, we ought to win by 3 scores today. You know, like, that's just not the way that the NFL is set up. And look, you can't. That's the reality of it. Like, it's trying to deny gravity. And the NFL would be saying that that's not the way the league works. That's the way it works. Some teams negotiate it better than others, and that's why they're favorites, right? They have more good players, but even the teams with more good players, they create a margin where you feel like maybe they should win by 2 scores this week. You know, like, that's the kind of margin that you create, not we're going to absolutely crush this team. Winning by 10 is a big win in the National Football League. Winning by a field goal is enough. And if you find a way to do it 8 times, you've had a pretty good year. Maybe not great, but pretty good year.
Well, this year it would be a pretty good year for sure.
And the way that the league is set up is to have to fight, you know, to the last inch to put yourself in a position to win 8 games out of 16 that are played in any given season. And the really, really good teams win 11 or 12. That's just the way that it works. And the almost average teams from an NFL perspective win 5. That's how the league is set up to work. How does Urban Meyer negotiate that as compared to going into 8 games during a 12-game season where you should win by 20? I don't know. You know, like, mentally, I don't know what he's going to do to deal with that kind of thing, but I think he'll be fine. He knows what the deal is coming into the league, and that's what that 8-8 comment said to me, at least.
I hope so. All right, Eagles hit him with a 10-10 take.
10-10. This 10-10 take is brought to you by Peninsular Pest Control at CritterGetter.com.
All right, today's question of the day, we asked you, assuming the Jaguars select Trevor Lawrence with the number one pick in the NFL draft, I feel that's a pretty safe assumption. Which of these backup quarterback options would you prefer? We gave you, these are alphabetical by last name, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Jake Luton, Gardner Minshew, Alex Smith. Given these options, assuming they're all available, I'm making a lot of assumptions here. I'm going to assume that Alex Smith becomes available. I'm going to assume he's going to sign or be willing to sign for something in the $5 million range because I don't want to break the bank. I don't want to spend $10 million on a backup quarterback. I don't. For a guy that hopefully never has to play. You have coaches that can coach Trevor Lawrence. Is there a benefit to having a guy who goes, yeah, I've been there, I've done that. It's one thing for Brian Schottenheimer to tell you something. It's another for me to tell you because I've seen that. Yeah, I do think there's a benefit. But – you want to add him to the coaching staff, make him a coach. I want a guy who can play a little bit, but it can also mentor a little bit if possible. I don't have a problem with Gardner Minshew if he is, whoever it is, has got to be accepting of this role 100%. Now, my role is to support Trevor Lawrence. It's not to think I can overtake Trevor Lawrence. You can think that, but it's to outwardly support Trevor Lawrence in every way possible. So, given these options, I think Alex Smith would probably fit all these boxes better than the others. I think he could play in a pinch. He showed that last year. Ryan Fitzpatrick seems like he still wants to be the guy out there on the field. I don't know how much of a mentor he is.
We don't want that magic over here.
I do want the magic if necessary. Like if forced to play, go ahead and throw for 400 yards for us one good time.
And then go right back to the bench.
And go right back to the bench. anybody coming in, you would think, is in that position, but he was like last year, thought he should hold off Tua, and based on his play, he should have.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing. If Trevor Lawrence struggles at all, Tony, I don't care. Play through it. You know, it's not going to be a case of, oh, we're going to sit him down for anybody.
No.
Not in my world anyway. So I guess Alex Smith, given these options, I'd go for an Andy Dalton. Somebody like that who's played a lot that is not going to wet themselves if they have to go in there and succeed. And if they want – if they're priced themselves out of the market, I don't have a problem keeping Gardner here. At the price he's costing the Jaguars, not very much. And having some starting experience, he might be one of the best blends you could possibly find in that regard. Alex Smith pulling down nearly 47% of the vote today, nearly 31% for Minshew, 20% going to Ryan Fitzpatrick, and 2.6% for Jake Luton. A few others were mentioned as well as potential backups, but those were the primary guys we asked you to focus in on today. Who'd your vote go to?
Fitzpatrick. I think he's the best of the four players at this point in their career of that list, and I think he would be fine coming here if he was going to be the backup, and that's clearly what it was going to be from the moment that they get into the 2021 season. Like, I think what happened last year was more Fitz played pretty well in 2019 for that Dolphins team that was really, really young 2 years ago. Tua came in, wasn't playing all that well, and Ryan's looking around going, what did I do? Like, I don't think that's the same situation that'll be happening here in Jacksonville. And could you get a smarter, more experienced backup than Ryan Fitzpatrick? And by the way, has everything that Gardner Minshew has plus, right? Like, the idea is that Gardner Minshew may turn into Fitzpatrick at some point in his career. Fitz is already that guy. Like, you talk
about the sense of style.
He's got that too.
The hair. But,
like, the beard, case, the whole beard. Thing that he's got going yes. on, that kind of cult of personality thing that Ryan Fitzpatrick
outfits.
Carries with him. Like, super smart guy, obviously. Is like, I was just looking at his stat line. He's thrown for at least 1,000 yards in 12 consecutive seasons now. As a guy that a lot of that time has been in and out of the lineup, a backup in a lot of those places, when he's been called about, he delivers.
Probably the most frequently mentioned name other than the ones in the poll was Cam Newton today. And it would be only with total buy-in from Cam. And I don't think you're going to get that when he's out there saying, hey, look, I know I'm better than some of these 32 starting quarterbacks. Cam still think. I mean, he's still young enough. And it's understandable. He's a former MVP. Yeah,
that's his prerogative.
That's his prerogative. Like, based on the way he played last year, I would pick several guys over Cam. But could he fit into an Urban Meyer system? Well, Urban Meyer certainly thought he could back in college.
Sure.
Right? So, yeah, I think he absolutely could if he was willing to take that role. I don't think that's the stage of his career that he's at right now. So, we appreciate you playing along. Let's welcome in our resident offensive lineman, Mark Brunell's blindside protector. It's XL Primetime.
Now, the two-minute drill on 1010XL.
Big Sirs in the house. Hello, Sirs.
What's going on, gentlemen? How you
How
doing?
How are you?
I'm doing outstanding.
I think I know what your take on this is, but franchise tag window is open. It doesn't mean you have to do it immediately. What are you doing at left tackle here? Are you going, I got to have something. I'm going to franchise Cam Robinson or try to work out a lesser money short-term extension, or are you going all in on Trent Williams, not knowing if you can sign him to the draft? What is your approach to answering who's protecting Trevor's blind side?
Oh, man, but you've got to come up with something pretty quick. I mean, the draft is in April. You know you're going to get Trevor. You like to solidify your left side of the offensive line, this blind side particularly. Listen, I don't have any problem with signing Cam, putting Cam on the franchise tag, you know, for 1 year to see if, you know, you can kind of motivate him. My whole thing with Cam Newton, I mean, Cam.
I do it all the time, bro. Cam. Freaking time.
Cam Robinson is that his motivation is consistent play. And if you got a once-in-a-generation quarterback in Trevor Lawrence, you can't have the inconsistencies at left tackle because you'll get your quarterback hurt. That's my only concern with him. I would rather have a veteran presence there, a guy who's been in the trenches a lot longer, who's a lot more consistent like a Trent Williams. But Trent's 32, a little long in the tube, and now you're going to spend $80
million? Yes.
You will?
I will.
Okay.
I will. He'll take my money. I'll give it to him, yeah.
I will.
I tell you, you
got it. He was graded number one tackle in the game by Pro Football Focus this year.
We'll give him his money.
Absolutely.
Because he's going to be the kind of guy where you put over at left. I was talking about this earlier in the week. It's like Big Bo. You put Big Bo at left tackle, you turn your back, you don't worry. You know the job's going to be done. That's the kind of guy you've got to have.
At least for the next couple of years,
exactly.
You feel that way. And then, you know what, if you've got to eat a little salary cap space and if his play declines, so be it. The initial part of Trevor's career, I want to make sure, like you said, don't even think about that spot if you can get it. The problem is, it doesn't work in that order. You got to decide on Cam Robinson before free agency.
You
know, so like I said it earlier this week. I'd tag him, and then if Trent wanted to take my money, Cam better hurry up and sign that tag, buddy, because I'm giving that money to Trent Williams. And if Cam hasn't signed it, I'll pull it back. And if I have to eat that for 1 year and have Cam Robinson be the highest paid tackle backup in the league for one season because we landed Trent Williams, I'll live with it.
I can live with that as well.
You know, I just, I'm not rolling the dice that we're going to come up empty in free agency and have to find that guy.
And this notion that you can just get a left tackle in the draft and put him there to protect him, that's I think you can
get one, but I feel much better if even if you just had a year of Cam and we'll take a tackle at 25 or 33 and then we got a year to let him up to speed.
Well, maybe not even sign Cam, get Trent Williams to bring a draft a tackle and then help groom him for the years underneath Trent Williams.
If we go the Trent Williams route, I could say, you know what, let's get a low-level backup tackle. Let's draft another one next year. Yep. Give him a year to get up to speed. Then we've had 2 years of Trent Williams protecting the blind side.
I can live with that all
day. Who knows, man?
I'll sleep better at night knowing that we get.
Free agency in the draft can't get here soon enough. It's bottom line, we got too many resources to play with.
Exactly.
What do you got coming up on the show?
We got G-Funk coming on.
G-Funk is coming on
1245.
Love it.
Yeah.
Love it. Always one of the Jaguar fan favorites back in his day in the early 2000s here. I guess 99. What was he? 99, 2000, 2001?
Something like that.
All right. Well, we'll enjoy that conversation, sirs. Have a great show.
Appreciate it, fellas.
All right, you look good in purple, too, man. Look at this guy. He's
so... Got my prints going on a little bit.
You do have your prints going on.
So with the perm and
look at this.
ET,
we found, ET's got that blue.
Little razzle dazzle, something like.
Which works for him.
Yeah, no perm for Leon.
Nothing that works for us, man. Yeah, no perm. This is true. This is true. I'd like to see him with that guitar in his hand, though, see what he can do. All right, that will do it for us today. Thanks to John Osier for stopping by. Tomorrow, Mike DiRocco will pop in, give us his thoughts from ESPN.com. Lance Zierlein from NFL.com on the draft beat as well. So those are among the guests that we'll have tomorrow, and we'll see where the conversation takes us. And, of course, Friday with Tom McManus here. Busy week on Jaguars today. We'll continue then. For Tony Smith, for ET, and for Johnny O, I'm Mike Dempsey. Thanks for listening today. Back again tomorrow from 10 to noon on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Yo, Jacksonville.